Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the world and archived on AWFradio.com. Let's go to a line number two. Always enjoy talking to this guy. Ed Witkin is president of the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO. TTD.org is the website. Hey, Ed, welcome back to the show and Happy New Year to you.
Same to you. How you doing?
Good, good, good. At least we're not getting the weather they're getting out in the Northeast today. My gosh. I mean, we get our share of bad weather here in Northeastern Ohio, and sometimes you have to laugh at it a little bit when you see what other cities are getting so they know what it's like to live in Northeastern Ohio. You follow me?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, they're talking about record snowfall. I saw the mayor of New York City say this could be one of the biggest storms in the history of the city.
Yeah.
They're bracing for a big one.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I don't think they can handle it like we do here in Cleveland and in Buffalo, no doubt. Okay, let's talk about the State of the Union. I know you watched the president last week, as so many Americans did, and I'll tell you, it was a really good speech. He had a lot of good things to bring up, but the scary part about this is, are we going to get any cooperation from the Congress? And it doesn't seem to be going that way. It's very adversarial, as you well know. I'd like to know your thoughts. I mean, you work in the thick of things there in Washington. What do you have to say?
Well, Juan, you're right. The president's speech was obviously a very strong one, and he I thought found his voice again on issues that matter. You know, to so many Americans. And do I have hope for cooperation? I don't know. If you had a chance to view a speech I gave in Los Angeles in December, I was the recipient of an award from an organization called Lane. And the speech started with the following line, which is, the biggest export right now coming out of Washington is failure. And I talk about that failure not to, you know, ruin the evening, of course, but to talk about what we need to do to get out of it. And I think the president tried to do that, but I'm worried that this is now just about the 2016 election, and so everyone's just going to be trying to make everybody look bad.
Yeah.
And that'll be governing for the next 2 years.
You know, it's really sad, and this is a perfect segue into the Highway Trust Fund, because now is the time, when gas prices are so darn low, now is the time that you would think, okay, maybe we should sit down, let's work something out, raise the gas tax. What was the last time the gas tax was raised, Ed?
1993, so we're at over 20 years now.
Okay, yeah, 22 years and counting. And what a great opportunity, because you know we need it. I mean, you drive the roads, you go across those bridges, you understand what's happening with our infrastructure. Now, I did see your blog on this. New year, new tune on gas tax. What are you hearing so far, Ed?
Well, so there's sort of two competing visions. The first one is what's embodied in that blog, and that is, there are a number of lawmakers on both sides of the aisle that are starting to recognize that the only quick path to shoring up the transportation fund that is going broke is to finally raise the fuel tax. And so you've got some Republicans in leadership positions that chair major committees now sort of opening a pretty large crack in the door. And, of course, there are a number of Democrats that believe that's a good option. And even the president, who had generally been against this proposal in the past, had his press secretary say that if there's a bipartisan solution that includes a gas tax increase, that we should consider it and it should be on the table. So that was a good sign. The problem is that I think they were all too many of them were just drunk on too much eggnog from the holidays. The eggnog wore off, and now all the sort of naysayers are coming out, including some in the leadership that are now starting to throw cold water on it. So, you know, maybe the solution is we should start passing out a lot of eggnog to these lawmakers. I got nothing else, Flash. I don't know what else to do.
Hey, whatever works at this point. That's all I got to say. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe they just said that for the cameras and the microphones. I don't know. I can't figure this out. But my gosh, we are so far behind.
Is, Yeah, it's terrible. The needs are literally in the trillions. And as I've said many times on the air with you, bridges literally are falling down. And even when we try to do the right thing and replace them, like the one in Cincinnati recently,
right.
As you know, it collapsed when they were trying to demolish it. So the challenge going ahead is not to pass out eggnog for sure, although I'm open to that. The real solution is to try to engage the public, because Congress is afraid of the voters. And when they think there are retributions ahead for inaction, I believe that's when they act, right? You and I have both seen in our lifetime that whenever they do bold things, it's under fear of retribution from the voter.
Right.
And so, similar to what's happened with human rights issues, whether it's same-sex marriage or human rights issues involving the immigration debate, the reason there's been a significant thawing on those issues, in other words, there's more and more people realizing, I mean, hell, you had Jeb Bush the other day say, we need to do something about immigration reform. It's because they fear the voters.
Right.
And so I've been saying this for a long time. If we don't make transportation an electoral issue, we fail. Because then they just do it the same old way, and nothing else, nothing ever happens.
Yeah. Well, it, you know, Ed, it continues to amaze me how disconnected the politicians are with the voters. I mean, if you poll people on the minimum wage, I just saw a poll last week, 68%. Yeah. 68%. That is a clear majority. They think raising the wages of ordinary Americans is what the government should be more concerned with. Immigration, you brought that one up. Paid sick leave, that's another one there. 66% favor allowing workers to earn up to a week of paid sick time every year. And you know darn well that these things aren't going to happen in Congress. I mean, you're right.
And you know what it is? And, you know, it's a great conversation for perhaps for another show, but it's the gerrymandering problem. I really believe that the reason things don't get done is that too many of these politicians, they identify their district so well with so many of their voters that they don't actually face a contested election. As you know, almost no one faces a serious challenge in the congressional races. There's something wrong with that. When you've got these things rigged up to win all the time,
right,
then you don't have to be held accountable, right?
Uh-huh.
The perfect example of that is you'll have a congressman with a majority district that's mostly white. He'll have, let's just make it up, a fourth minorities, and he says constantly, you know, agitating things about immigration reform, and he doesn't have to worry about the outcome of it. Why? Because he doesn't have the kind of district where there are enough voters that are going to, again, exact retribution on him or her as a politician. I really believe that that's the only thing that moves these lawmakers is the wrath of the voter, and they figured it out. If they gerrymander it to a point where they draw these districts to be almost bulletproof, then they're not never held accountable for inaction on things that matter to the country.
Yeah, and you couple that with outrageous campaigning with the no limits on financing those campaigns, and those people are going to be in there for a whole lot of time. So it's going to be very, very difficult to initiate any kind of change. Well, that being said, we got to go back to the people. We got to go back to grassroots. We got to raise our voices even higher. Do you see some of that happening? And what's the role of the Transportation Trades Department in that, Ed?
Well, we've spent a lot of time the last few months trying to modernize our platform for how we communicate with the public and with our members. We just launched, you may have noticed, the new TTD.org, which we're very proud of. It's not only more modern and more appealing for the user, but it also has the kind of real-time capability to engage your members a little more aggressively. So I think you'll see a lot more from us in this upcoming presidential cycle. We're going to really take a deep dive into what the issues are that need to be addressed by the candidates for presidency. And yes, I do see, for example, President Trump got the AFL-CIO. I think he's refocusing the conversation internally on making sure that our members maximize every ounce of energy and advocacy that they have to bring to the table. And that's not just with modern tools. That's also with sort of more accountability at every level. I think this is a big year and big cycle of accountability where everyone should be held accountable for their role in this process. And I can assure you we're going to be doing that at TTD because I believe that's a very important part of what we're doing.
Very good. Another question here, and this deals with the Jones Act. We got word last week that McCain offered an amendment, and this was to the Keystone Pipeline legislation. You know how they how they tack on those crazy things, which would repeal a portion of the Jones Act. Now, Steve LaTourette, you know Steve, he indicated that they were probably going to work that out. I don't know. What's the latest on that? What do you know about that?
Well, the latest is that, you know, John and some of his supporters, which, by the way, happen to be mostly foreign interests on this issue, have been trying to weaken, if not eliminate, the Jones Act for some time now. And, you know, the Jones Act is very important. It's the basis for having a serious U.S. maritime industry. It's the basis for protecting middle-class jobs in the shipbuilding industry. And if you got rid of the Jones Act or weakened it like Senator McCain's trying to do, you would essentially open the floodgates for more cheap labor to essentially take over the limited U.S. maritime industry we have left in this country and ruin the shipbuilding industry. So, yeah, I think we're going to defeat that. I feel pretty confident about that. There isn't majority support for it. It's a completely ridiculous position. It's sort of like saying, hey, we need to surrender a few more industries so that America has nothing left. It's like this. It is. It's like surrender policies.
Yeah.
Same thing they do on trade, right?
Right.
Let's just surrender it all to our competitors overseas by passing TTP or whatever the trade policy may be at the time. It's the same thing they do in every industry, and this would again create would potentially ruin another industry.
Yeah.
Opening it up to be taken over by foreign interests.
Yeah. I
don't know why McCain thinks that's a good idea, but he does.
I don't know. Something happened in that POW camp, I think. But 400,000 workers we're talking about with an annual labor income of $24 billion. Now, in the scheme of things, you know, there's trillions of dollars in the budget and the economy and all that stuff. Maybe they figure $24 billion is nothing. But, you know, I look at that 400,000 jobs. That's a lot of jobs there that they're...
It's ridiculous, us to be even considering any policy proposals to destroy such an important segment of our economy and transportation system is actually it's a disgrace. That we're even having this debate, at a time when we still have a lot of underemployment. You know, you still have the jobless rate may see improvement for sure, but we still have a lot of people that are underemployed.
Right.
And we can't ignore that. So why would you want to get rid of these middle class jobs, which is what these kinds of proposals do? So,
yeah,
we think we can beat that back. But, you know, we're facing this kind of stuff all the time. And I suspect it's going to be fast and furious. The next several months.
Okay, but right now you feel pretty good about it, as you said.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we have a lot of support for our position, and I'm not expecting this to go forward. And the president's people have expressed strong support for the Jones Act, so this wouldn't get past the president anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I hope so. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up real quick. Well, I'm going to let you go. Ed, once again, thank you for what you do over there on the Hill. I know, as they say, there's always something, right?
Yeah, there is always something, and we're going to be up against it with a lot of sinister forces that think that they're going to be feeding at the trough the next 2 years. So we're going to have to make sure they don't succeed.
Okay. Well, you keep up the fight, brother, all right?
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Ed Witkin of the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO. Check out their new website. It's ttd.org. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce.